Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Welcome into Bucks in the Basement. My name is Chris. That's Craig. Sit on down at my 9-foot homemade oak bar and pour yourself a cold one. We're going to talk Pittsburgh Pirates baseball for 30 minutes as we do each and every week. I hate people. I don't understand why they're such jerks. I've just been on the road for 2.5 hours on a ride that normally takes me an hour and 45 minutes from the lake because people are jerks. And there's just no other way about it. They're jerks. I was trying to explain to my kid the other day. We were up at the lake and he goes, it's never been so clear before. I said, it's clear because of COVID. He goes, why? I said, because people are hiding in their houses. There's no more cruise ships. There's less stuff being pumped into the environment and people have been just hiding in their houses and now everything's wonderful. He goes, that's amazing. I go, yes, I am totally up for less people. And then on a car ride home, I was like, I am totally up for less people. All right. I'm just telling you, some of you gotta go. All right. Or find another place to live. Just move away from me. How are you, my friend?
I've been like, you know, following Pirates Twitter today, Pirates Facebook, and just, you know, studying some stats and stuff. And I was talking to you about this before the show, Chris. I was thinking about this in my regular day of what I do, which most people don't know that I'm actually a certified counselor. I'm a certified drug and alcohol therapist. I look at stuff sometimes from a different lens. And at this point in time, I looked at it from the grief and loss end, where we've looked at the
beginning. I'm sorry, you're looking at the Pirates season as from the grief and loss end? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I am, because basically the way I'm looking at it, the reason I'm looking at this because...
Hold on. I'm just going to pour myself a little Buffalo Trace, little bourbon with a rock. I'm going to sit back and listen to this because this is going to be amazing. Go ahead.
No, because the reason for this is because everybody thought that there was going to be a 60-game season. So, you know what, dude? Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Terrible teams can be great. Bad teams can be good. All this, you know, all this kind of stuff that could happen. And I look at it from this end because the first stage of this is denial. Like, there was some stage of denial where people were trying to make themselves think that the Pirates could be competitive this year and could somehow work their way into like a 30-30 record and somehow make it into the playoffs. I mean, and then became anger. Anger is the next stage where, you know, you go to 3-13 and it's like, how did we get here? This has to be Neil Huntington's fault. This is Ben Cherington's fault. This is Derek Shelton's fault. He's the worst coach ever, even though he's only been behind, you know, in the dugout for a couple things. And then comes depression, where it's like, you know what? This is terrible. This is where we sit. And at this point in time, we're 13 and, you know, 26 and all this kind of stuff. And then comes bargaining. And that's exactly where we're sitting at right now. And this is why we're sitting at bargaining. And I'm not going to talk bad about players because I had a conversation with somebody about small sample size. And this is where this whole thought process came to me is they're talking about small sample size. Well, there's people that use small sample size to get their argument going in the right direction. And I made a small sample size argument about Josh Bell at DH and what his numbers were like at DH starting the day yesterday. And everybody's saying he should be a DH. And he was hitting .091 as a DH. And I know it was a small sample size. And I was just basically pointing out to people, it's just like, maybe there's something bigger going on here. So where do people go? They take Ke'Bryan Hayes, who, you know what? I want this kid to succeed. I want him to be great. But they take his small sample size and they say if he could fit into, you know, the realm of competing here with people who have reached that quota for what qualifies for a season, his high hit rate in these three or four games matches everybody else. And I just basically said, you know what, you're bargaining. You're trying to bargain stuff. You're trying to bargain, you know, Anthony Alford being knocked out of the season, you know, with his elbow injury. You know what? I feel bad about that. You're bargaining Philip Evans, who like got his jaw broken by Gregory Polanco's elbow. You are bargaining for these guys where I'm seeing that it's like when next year starts, you're going to have a competition between Cole Tucker in center field versus Anthony Alford, a guy who we picked up off the trash heap, who had three good hits in the time he was in. You are all bargaining to try to make this team good for next year, and you just need to stop it. That's where I'm at right now is you cannot bargain this team into a good record for this year. You probably can't bargain this team into a good record for next year. Should these guys get shots? Absolutely. But going to the point where you're saying that our outfield in center field next year is between Cole Tucker and Anthony Alford, Cole Tucker, who's been with our system, Anthony Alford, who we picked off of the trash heap, Philip Evans, who we picked off the trash heap, and you got to find those gems, and we've talked about that, Chris, but please do not bargain yourself into thinking that this is the answer. It just frustrates me to no end, and that's where my brain went today, which was like, I didn't think I was just basically saying, you know what, maybe the problem with Josh Bell is a little bit deeper. Maybe it's deeper than putting him at DH. Maybe he's got a case of the batting yips. I mean, everybody talks about the throwing yips. Maybe he's got the batting yips. Maybe he needs to work something out. I don't know. But you cannot, we're at the stage of bargaining right now where they're going to try to pick out, they're going to say, you know what, JT Brubaker, he could be a star. Cody Ponce, he's come up for a couple starts. He could be a star. This guy's got three hits. He could be a star. Like, to me, like, you have to put that stuff aside because that's where the judgment gets clouded for Pirates fans because you are constantly grasping at straws. I mean, Chris, I may be completely wrong on this. I mean, you may think that I'm, like, talking out my, you know what, but for me, I feel like that you have to see, it's like, yeah, does this guy deserve a shot? Yeah. But is he competing for a starting job? No, he's got maybe an invite again to spring training, but it's not a start. Like, this is just absolutely, like, to me, is like absolutely ridiculous and asinine. It's just, you're looking for stuff to happen, and I understand where people are coming from. I mean, you want to get back to where you were, but we're starting off with what we've come to discover, and in my mind as well, is a worse situation than we were in 2007 when Neil Huntington picked up the team. Neil Huntington had he had McCutchen, he had Walker, Marte was already signed. He was bringing him up. There were these potential like game-changing stars within the system, and right now you have a bunch of guys who could play roles. But please, please, please tell me, Pirates fans, and don't tell me Ke'Bryan Hayes at this point in time after three games. He could be, but there is no way that there was the same feeling from when McCutchen came up, who tore his way through the minor leagues and was a bona fide star from the get-go when he stepped on the field. Please do not put that on Ke'Bryan Hayes right now. Could he be a great player within our system? Absolutely. But I feel like that you are right now bargaining to try to make him into something that he is not. If he's made a change in his swing, we can rediscuss this. But for right now, there is no way that anybody thinks that he came up through the system the same way that McCutchen came up through the system and was ready to take on and hit, you know, 300 with 20 home runs. Like, I just do not see that. So, Chris, please take this soapbox away from me.
What do you see Ke'Bryan Hayes as? I think that's the first thing. If I'm listening to you right now, I would say, why are you so down on the kid? Why can't we be excited that we saw something good? So what do you see in Ke'Bryan Hayes that makes you worried that just even though it's been a couple of games, that he's fool's gold and I shouldn't get excited about him? Like, explain that to me. Explain that to me as one of the fans that's sitting there right now going, well, why can't I be excited about the guy? And let's be honest, even if the guy's great, there's still so much more that needs to be done for this team. This is the beginning of a build. This is not the middle of a build or the end of a build. This is the beginning of a build, and I think there's more of a chance that Charrington makes some sweeping changes and we see a lot of different moves happening. They may try to build on the fly. You might see them go out and get a few journeymen every year while they're building their minor league system, but they don't really put out a team that anybody really believes could go out and win a World Series for at least the next several years. But what about Ke'Bryan Hayes concerns you?
Well, there's not a lot that concerns me about him being a big league player. I think the kid is honestly like an everyday player within the major leagues. Which basically, I mean, we've talked about this before, Chris, that works out to about a 2 WAR. I feel like they have him up on a pedestal, which to a player that, you know, raked his way through the system, that's going to go up to be like a, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 WAR player who's going to be competing for a, you know, an MVP trophy, which he could be. But I haven't seen that with him. By watching him through this system, he's a player who consistently hits around like 265, 270. He hits on streaks. At the end of this past year, he did have a finger injury at the beginning of the year. And people are saying, you know what, for the last however many games, he hit like 290. Well, that's great and everything. But also, I also look for players to continue to play beyond this point in time where, you know what, there's not a lot of tape on him. Pitchers may not maybe throwing him pitches they wouldn't normally throw him, and he may be getting a tad bit lucky. I'm not saying that he's not going to be great. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be excited about this. Believe me, when he came up, I had my TV on, and that's where I judge, at least in my Pirates fandom, that's where I judge when a player gets called up is whether I turn on the TV or not, or whether I buy a ticket to see a game. If it was a home game and it was Ke'Bryan Hayes' first game, I would have bought a ticket. I bought a ticket for Garrett Cole's first game at home. I bought a ticket for McCutcheon's, Marte's, Neil Walker's, and that's Neil Walker was a hometown boy, so that was a reason for that. But I didn't know if I saw as much from him. So it's not saying I'm like downplaying the fact that we shouldn't be happy about what he's doing, but we should also look at the track record throughout the system that there's been not a lot to say that this is going to continue. If there people are talking about, I mean, I know Alex Stump from DK Sports, along with Pirates Analytics, like broke down his swing and showed that it changed a little bit. And you know what? If he's made adjustments, then I will make adjustments. But I'm not going to judge it that it's going to be based on like a few games here.
I get what you're saying, because here's the thing. At the beginning of the year, and I can only go off of the hype that was in the American League, because I remember the two names, especially because I had them both on my fantasy baseball team, which, by the way, still has a chance to win a championship in our shortened season. You have yet to be mathematically eliminated, so good for you, my friend. You're still chasing my heels.
I appreciate it, yeah.
You're hanging in there, though. But I have two guys on my team that I have been holding on to in this Dynasty League, and I was aware that both of them were Rookie of the Year candidates before the first pitch was thrown, and that's Kyle Lewis out of Seattle, who's just mashing, and Luis Robert out of Chicago, who's just mashing. And they're just absolutely incredible rookie stars. And now they put together in the first 6 weeks of the season, they've just been consistently good. In fact, they're improving as their season exists. You could see with those two guys, as somebody that looked at them as saying, okay, how's this guy doing in the minors? Do I think he could do that in the majors in my fantasy league? And there's a reason why they were on my team. There's a reason that Ke'Bryan Hayes was not somebody I ever chased against, because if you look at Hayes in the minors, Hayes never has a slugging percentage over 443. He had a 443 slugging percentage in Altoona in 2018, 414 in 2019. His on-base percentage has always been consistent. He's always been in the mid-300s. He at one point in Altoona had the 375 on-base percentage. That's fine. That's good stuff. He averages, he's probably about a 280 hitter going on throughout the minor leagues. So if he's a 280 hitter and somehow is able to keep his slugging percentage up, and I'll even give him 450, although he's never hit 450 as a slugging percentage. He's an 800 slugger, somewhere around, he's an 800 OPS, somewhere around there. Right now, the guy's got an 1100 OPS. He's got Mike Troutian numbers, if not better. But it's a very small sample size. So I get what you're saying here, because he either all of a sudden turned into Mike Trout at the plate, or he's having a really good start before people figure out who he is. Before somebody says, well, can he hit this? Start throwing him this. On the tape, it looks like he's really confused when you throw him X, or X pitch or Y pitch. And then you see whether or not he can adjust, because these numbers don't match up with what Cabrian Hayes has been his entire professional career up until this call-up. So I get that point that you're making. He should be a really good everyday ball player who plays really good defense. But the hitting thing, right now, man, this is he's way out over his skis from what you would expect from him. And even the greatest projections, even if you took the far greatest part of the curve when you're trying to project this guy into the future, this is off the charts from what you would have had. And like you said, you're right, it's a small sample size. I just want to make sure that people understand you're not saying he sucks. You're not saying he's not an everyday player.
Oh, absolutely
but you're
not.
Saying this isn't the savior that's going to be a third for you and hit 40 home runs a year and be a perennial all-star that you're going to put a bust of him out in the outfield or something like that, or erect a statue when you walk inside the stadium, and you think people are reacting that way.
Yeah, I feel like people are going that way, and I saw it even before this with, I mean, you know, my boy Cole Tucker, who's going to punch me in the face if he hits 300. It was the same type of thing. Is
what's he doing people, now? He's nowhere near it, right?
He's like 242, 250. Right. I've been keeping track of it. But he'll have like a seeing eye single to tie the game up, and people will like celebrate as if he hit his 30th home run of the season. Like, I don't, that's the thing I want people to understand, is I don't want these people to perform bad. I just want people to be realistic within their expectations. Could Cole Tucker be an everyday player on the team? Absolutely.
Yeah, but you better have a lot of hitting around him. He's there more defensively than he is for hitting. If he's an everyday player on your team, that's because you've improved in a lot of other areas, because right now you don't have that kind of a lineup where you could support a Cole Tucker and say he's an everyday player. And every once in a while he pulls out a clutch hit, or he does this or he does that, and he makes a spectacular thing, and his defensive runs saved metric shows that he's such an impact on your team. But you need to have guys around him that can hit. That's the difference, because Cole Tucker isn't going to go out there and be one of the premier shortstops, second baseman, or center fielder in baseball the way he hits the ball.
No, it's just not going to happen, Chris. And that's what I'm basically trying to like temper people's expectations of these players. And I want you to cheer for these players. I want you guys to love these players. And whoever is your favorite player, I mean, for God's sake, my favorite player at one point in time was Dale Sfame, playing third base for the Pirates. Just because I thought the guy was a gutsy player. But did I put that expectation up there that he was going to be like a 30 home run hitter or whatever?
Who was the star when Dale Sfame was on the team?
It was probably Jason Bay at that point in time, I believe.
There was a big difference between the two of them, right?
Yeah, and probably maybe Brian Giles. Like,
right.
It was like
big difference there. Big difference in those guys.
Yeah, so you can have a favorite player, but you can't like say that just because this guy is my favorite player that he is this great player. You have to realize his role within the team. I mean, like, Dale Sfame right now is, you know, he's been a coach, he's been like a manager, and he realizes his role within baseball existence. You know, so like, he's not going to be the greatest player, but it was a player that I liked. I mean, Chris, I know you've had those players before in your life.
I'm going to tell you something right now. This is how you should measure your team. I'm going to give you a trick. It's not scientific. It's nothing along those lines. It's something that my uncle told me one time. We're sitting there watching a ball game. My uncle was also my godfather. He's my dad's brother. He's the older brother of the two of them. We're out, we're watching a ball game one day, and we're talking about baseball. I got to be like, you know, a teenager, probably 14, 15 years old, you know. And we're out there, we're talking about the game. It's just me and him. We're watching the ball game. And he goes, what do you think of this guy? And I tell him, what do you think of this guy? I tell him, he goes, okay, well, how many of these guys you think could play for the Yankees right now? And this is in the 90s. This is in the 90s as the Yankees are going on their run. It's the Joe Torre Yankees with Jeter and Williams and Rivera and everything else. And he goes, how many of these guys, look around the diamond, do you think could play for the Yankees? Do you think the Yankees would put up with and keep them on the roster while they went through their stuff. How many guys on this team right now do you think have the pedigree to put on the pinstripes and play in the Bronx? Now, he's not a Yankee fan, my uncle. This is just a guy who grew up in the golden age of baseball when the Dodgers played in Brooklyn. You see what I'm saying? And he's talking about the historical thing. Like, you could say the same thing right now about the Dodgers. How many of these guys could play every day or even make the Major League roster for the Los Angeles Dodgers? If you want to find a National League team over the last couple of years, it's been amazing. How many guys on your team, on your Pittsburgh Pirates, could be in the Dodgers organization and hang on before somebody else better came and took their job? And if you ask yourself that question and look at your lineup, you're going to have a very, very hard time finding them. You are. Can Josh Bell play on the Dodgers right now? Would he be a starting player on the Dodgers right now? Would he?
No.
Would Brian Reynolds be starting on the Dodgers right now? Is there a spot where he beats somebody and knocks them out of their position on the Dodgers right now?
No.
No. Do you have a pitcher of any one of your five starters that would take one of the starting roles on the Los Angeles Dodgers right now?
No, man, because they're like basically like, I mean, they're like trying to find spots for guys in their minor league system.
Who they traded Ross Stripling because they had run out of room. And if you had Ross Stripling on your team right now, he'd be the best pitcher on your team. So look, this is what Craig is trying to say. I know when people get upset, he'll say the things that he says and somebody like, oh, you just don't like the team. You're not a Pirates fan. No, he is a Pirates fan. But what he's trying to explain to you is that if you really want to win a championship, if you really want to beat a team like the Dodgers, you got to have a few guys that could actually take the field wearing Dodger blue before you can start comparing your team to those teams. How many of these guys on the Pirates do you think could go take the field right now for the Yankees? Could go take the field right now for the Dodgers? Could go take the field right now? I mean, look at the American League Central, the Indians, the Twins, the White Sox. The three of them are all sitting up there just killing the balls right now. They're all over the place. You look over in the National League, go through all these different teams, the Padres. How many guys on the Pirates right now could start on the San Diego Padres? These are the questions you have to ask yourself. And if you can't look at their roster and say, well, yeah, I mean, we got 3-4 guys that are better than what they've got, then you're in big trouble. And this is what Craig's trying to point out. Be excited, enjoy your team, love your team. I've loved a lot of crappy teams in my life. I have gone to ball games when I was a little kid. My team would come walking off the field. You know, everybody's jumping around. I'm like, man, they're the best. I'm telling my dad, they're the best. They're the best. They're the best. And they're like 20 games under 500. Yeah. Because they suck, but I'm a little kid, and I just love my team. I just love my team, and it's okay to love your team, but how many of them could put on Dodger blue right now? And the answer is you'd be lucky if you could find three, and I don't know if you could find one right now, unless it's a relief pitcher that you're like, oh yeah, we could put Kella in their bullpen. He wouldn't even be he wouldn't even be their closer. He wouldn't even be their setup guy. He'd be a mid-inning guy on the Dodgers. That's the point that Craig is trying to make.
I appreciate that, Chris. And that's what I was just trying to put across. It's like, if anybody thinks that I'm not a Pirates fan, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I sat through 20 losing seasons as like a partial season ticket holder for that point in time. It's just, to me, you have to be realistic as to where we are at in this rebuild. We are at the beginning. That was why, I mean, there was a point in time where I said, don't even call up Brian Hayes. Because I was saying you should probably fool with that little, like, you know, super two a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Mess with his service time a little bit. He's only, I mean, then again, he is, I think he's what, 23 now? Yeah. I think he's 23 now. So, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, if you think about what he's going to have, they waited long enough. So they're probably going to get 3 more years of control before arbitration and 3 more years after that. So let's say he's 30 when he finally becomes a free agent. He's probably at least on
it's
the downside.
Bad.
He's probably on the downside by the time he gets there. So I understand you want to bring him up right now and have him play because you're going to have a guy. See, that's the thing. That's the guy that you get him used to it. And Ke'Bryan Hayes is one of your veterans 4 years from now after you put your team together and you've come out of the fog. He's one of your veterans. That's why I kind of understand. People are like, oh, he's an exciting young player. Wait till he's like the guy in the clubhouse. He's like, this is the Pirates' way. And he's with your new young manager who's going to sit there and teach him, this is what we want to do, Ke'Bryan. Like, if I'm Shelton, I'm sitting at the end of the bench, or I'm on the phone with this kid, or I'm hanging out with him whenever I can, because he's one of the few guys that'll probably be around when this is all over. And if front office people have told you, look, we're going to stick with you throughout the entire rebuild, we want this kind of a culture, okay, then you watch. He'll go and find guys like him. Those will be the guys he cares about the most, because those are the guys he's going to want to have build his culture, because they'll still be around. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, I still think, could be a real big part of that.
I hope really so, could. Man. I hope so.
He's back from paternity leave. Hopefully everything's better now. But I'm telling you right now, if she ain't getting any sleep, don't expect him to hit this year. Just saying. I was dead on with that. I'm telling you.
Well, I will say, Chris, I mean, me and Gary were talking about that, because as soon as he came out of paternity leave, that first game, like, he was like double home run, and he looked really comfortable. And we're like, man, Chris was on to something. But here's the thing.
I'm telling you. I mean, he's just a new dad. Just a new dad dealing with a wife that's going through stuff. And he was doing terribly when he was on the road, because she's calling for, why aren't you home? What are we going to do? Do you think I'll be a good mom? Like, these are the, we've all heard these. This is nothing. I'm not picking on women. Women are wonderful creatures that bear children, and I can't do it, and they can, and they go through all these emotions and these roller coasters. But trust me, as the guy on the other end, we listen to the roller coaster nonstop, and it can also wear on you mentally a little bit. And I find it funny that he got back from paternity leave and he was ready to hit. Yeah. All of a sudden. Yeah, he was ready to hit.
Yeah. So Chris, I got a question for you, because you always ask me questions. I got a question for you here right now. Can you name me a reliever in Major League Baseball who has remained consistent for like 5+ years?
Josh Hader.
Okay.
But I don't even think it's been 5 years. He came up in 27. It's really only been 3. So Mariano Rivera. I mean, you'd be talking a Hall of Famer if a guy's good for 5 straight years.
Yeah.
Because relief pitchers have it, and then they don't. And sometimes they have off years. And I've seen relief pitchers that were cruising, and then they get themselves into a bad situation in a playoff game, and they lose their nerve, and it never comes back again. But you're talking about the elite if you get a guy that's good for 5 years.
Yeah, so basically right now is a lot of people have been talking about how the Pirates, you know, since Miguel Del Pozo has been set down, that the Pirates bullpen has a, like, 370 ERA. They're right behind the Dodgers as one of the top bullpens in Major League Baseball. And that's another place where I want to take people, where I just want to temper their expectations, to think that these guys that have made it this year will be here in 3 or 4 years.
No, anybody that comes along knocking on the door in the offseason for any one of those guys and says, we want to add that person to our bullpen,
you're
trade
taking,
him and get what you trade him and take what you can.
Absolutely.
Because by the time you're good again, most of them won't be good anymore.
Yeah.
Take them at their highest value. You can find relief pitchers anywhere. You can find a relief pitcher. I mean, you can wait until right before the season starts and generally find a guy that fills a spot. You wait until the very end to get your bullpen together. That's not the first thing you put together. That's the thing you put together at the end. In a rebuild, in a successful rebuild, the relief pitchers, the bullpen, will come from all those guys that you thought could have been a starter and didn't end up in your starting five and became a really good relief pitcher. Because you're going to go out and accumulate all kinds of young pitching over the next couple of years, and the guys that don't make it as a starter but still have that one or two really elite pitches but they couldn't develop that third one, that's the guy that ends up in your bullpen. That's the guy that becomes, like, you know, your setup man or your closer. You'll find your bullpen by default if you develop your pitching staff when you're trying to do a rebuild and go out and get good young arms, and some of them will make it into your starting rotation and some of them will fail, but they'll be good relief pitchers. You don't go out and build a bullpen first.
Yeah, I just wanted you to make that point for me, Chris, because I you made it beautifully and I loved it, because if that's what you're hanging your hat on at the end of this season, Pirates fans, you are looking at this thing backwards.
You're out of your minds.
Yeah. Do I
appreciate? Craig thinks you're crazy. That's what Craig thinks you're crazy.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.